Good morning, everybody. Can I just start with apologising, because these days I wear three hats, and the members of the marketing group of Great Britain, some were late because this morning we had a breakfast with David Miliband, who I have to say is quite the most engaging speaker I've ever listened to, and I'm completely humbled to stand here after listening to somebody like him to try and say something interesting. But that I will do. My other hat is the president of the World Federation of Advertisers. I usually speak there about the things that trouble me, like digital fraud and other things. I'll come on to that in the Q&A. But today, I'm really going to talk with my CMO of RBS hat on. And actually, it is interesting when you're an old friend, because you do get asked things like this. What has changed? So I started in the marketing industry in March 1983, probably before many of you were born. And I started at Saatchi & Saatchi in Charlotte Street, and an awful lot has changed. First of all, the speed of the feedback loop. These days, you know whether you've made a mistake immediately. In those days, you twiddled your thumbs and waited for the response to come back. The number of channels has actually changed extraordinarily, but it's not just the number, it's the nature of channels. I was going to try and do a whole presentation without actually saying the word digital, but I will say, meanwhile, the digital revolution has happened as well. I actually started life, here's a thought, in a full-service advertising agency that was remunerated with 15% commission. I bet you're not paying your agency 15% commission. We're certainly not. So an awful lot has changed. But actually, I also look back and go, in the end, many things haven't changed. So this is my fourth tour of duty as a client, and I always come back to three simple questions you must ask yourself if you're a marketeer. Who are you trying to target? What are you trying to say? And why is what you're trying to say better than your competitors? It's as simple as that. It always has been, and it always will be. And I think an awful lot of twaddle is spoken around the changes that's been caused by digital. You've got to focus on the fundamentals. You really have. Now, these are questions I asked myself when I took up my current role. I joined RBS on July the 1st, 2015. I think it's a sign of age that that does feel like it was 16 years ago. It wasn't. It was 16 months ago. And what I joined was a company that had once been, this is a thing to ponder, the biggest global brand. It was the biggest bank in the world. In 2007, the most valuable brand in the world was RBS. And whoever did the building of the global brand had done a bang-up job. They'd done all that stuff you do if you're on the acquisition trail. They'd say, the Royal Bank of Scotland, that name's too big. Let's shorten it down to RBS. Let's use blue everywhere. Let's sponsor things that will get global name awareness, like Formula One. Let's stick our logo on Andy Murray's shirt. Let's get Jack Nicklaus to be a golf ambassador. And because Fred Goodwin was obviously quite a special man, let's put the same furniture in every building everywhere in the world. And he did. But when they were building the global brand, did they reflect on what the global business was doing? They also used a global advertising idea. And in a way, this idea of make it happen summed up what the attitude of RBS was at the time. I mean, it's pretty incredible to think back and remember that the Royal Bank of Scotland, a tiny bank in Edinburgh, had become the biggest global brand and global bank in the world. But actually, as it did that with this attitude of make it happen, who was minding the gap between the business performance and the promise? Clearly, nobody. Because in 2008, you'll all remember what happened. I stand here working for all of you. We are fundamentally owned by the state, because in 2008, the bank had to be rescued because it collapsed, and we all remember that story and why, and it wasn't the only financial institution that did. Stephen Hester was the CEO who took over from Fred Goodwin and actually set about trying to rescue the bank, and he was the CEO until 2013 and had to deal with headlines like the good, the bad and the ugly, and a relentless attack for all the things that the bank had done wrong. He had to re-engineer the balance sheet, and he had to stabilise the bank, because the reason the bank was bailed out is, had the bank not been bailed out, this economy would have been in trouble. That's how important to the system the bank is and was. He was replaced in 2013 by Ross McEwan, who, like all great CEOs, focused back on the customer, focused back on the simplicity of what's our purpose, what's our vision, and what do we want to do. And actually in 2014, when he came out with the results, he used this triangle to talk to all the stakeholders. And this is a triangle we still use today. Set out a very clear vision to be number one for customer trust, service and advocacy by 2020. A big, bold ambition indeed. And actually a devastatingly straightforward and simple purpose to serve customers well. That also means doing the right thing by customers, doing the right thing by the communities we operate in, and doing the right thing by society. And Stephen had put in place some values which Ross then enforced and trained through the business. And underneath that, you'll see the various brands that we were going to do that through. Now, when I arrived, somebody had helpfully, in the way they do when you're arriving, put that in a triangle on my desk. So there was a model, so it was on my desk. They'd put a transfer on the window to the right, and in case I was not actually looking at it, they'd also put a transfer on the window straight in front of me, and it was stuck on the wall as a poster on the left. So I thought, oh, maybe I'm supposed to look at this. So I did, and I found myself pondering in the first week, who's going to be number one for what by 2020? Which brand is going to be number one? Is that RBS? And then I started thinking hard about what RBS was and what brands we should get to. And this is the first thing I think I saw. Whilst the vision was really clear, to be number one for customer service, trust and advocacy, the brands that were going to get us there were less clear. So the two primary ones I focused on was the Royal Bank of Scotland in Scotland and NatWest, which is our customer-facing brand in England and Wales. And at the same time, I was thinking about RBS. Now, when I looked at the brand, I always believe in going backwards in order to go forward. So I looked in the archive, I talked to all the agencies, I looked at what we were doing and why. And we'd done some astonishing things. So if you were sitting in Scotland watching STV, you would see an ad, rather charming ad. Some of you may remember, I'll use a good one. It was a mortgage ad with Jack, a little boy, very charming story. And it had a Scottish voiceover. And at the end of it, it had the Royal Bank of Scotland logo and it said RBS, not Royal Bank. But if you then flipped to watch Sky Sports, you'd see exactly the same film, but with an English voiceover and with the NatWest logo at the end. And if you looked at the brochureware, they were identical except the colour was different. And if somebody in the interests of efficiency and cost saving had thought this was a good idea, I think that's how you kill brands. If you show customers that you don't really care about what you're doing, you commoditize yourself. So I got pretty quickly to, we need to separate these out again, make sure they're clear customer-facing brands, and we also need to think about what RBS is. Now, I didn't do that alone, because the most important thing you have to do when you're a leader is to set about building a community. And the community that you have to build in a role like the one I've got is everybody across the leadership of the company. So in September 2015, we got our top 700 people together in Edinburgh. And actually, I was amused to find in the archive, it was an old idea. This is the leadership of the bank, all 144 of them, from the 1800 in the banking hall in Edinburgh. If you ever go there, it's a building that still exists. It's astonishing. But we got the leaders together. And what I talked to them about was the triangle and the fact that we needed to sort out our brand hierarchy and be clear on what RBS is. RBS is the company that I work for, and it's our investor brand. It is not a customer-facing brand. So we are receding RBS, and we're now concentrating on our customer-facing brands, NatWest for England and Wales, the Royal Bank, because that's what customers call it in Scotland, Ulster for the island of Ireland, and for people like you in the marketing community, Coutts in the UK. And in the north of the border, we've got another one of those. We also have Britain's biggest military bank, which not many people know, Holtz, which is a fantastic brand. So we've got lots of brands, but we're now refocusing on those and what we need to do with them. And as we move along, the other thing to do is to remember this. Now, people ask me why I took this job, and I took this job for several reasons. One, because I love the CEO, as I always say when I say that, I don't mean literally, but Ross McEwan is a phenomenal, straight-talking Kiwi, customer-focused, and a really good boss who has empowered me to do what I do. And importantly, I report straight to him, and I sit on the executive committee. And my job is to represent the voice of the customer on the executive committee. I'm not sure, and this might be unfair, but I'm not sure that that had ever happened before in a bank. I'm not sure anybody ever turned up and gone, excuse me, you know, what are we doing here? Have you thought about the impact on the customer? Have you thought about what this means? So I am the voice of the customer. I make sure I bring timely measurement to the table. And these days, back to the speed of the feedback loop, I can bring that today. I can bring today what happened yesterday. I can make sure that we learn from it and do something different tomorrow. So it's great to be the voice of the customer. I've also learned, as you all know, if you're a marketeer, everybody can do marketing. And in fact, not only can everybody do it, they're all much better at it than we are, especially bankers, because they're all very clever. And actually, what you have to do is to make sure you can deal with them in simple, clear language and translate what you're saying. So when I say things like brand-led, I see them all glaze over. So I go, by that, I mean customer-obsessed. I mean we have to think about the customers day in, day out. And why this matters is because in the end, you know, what a brand is subject to many definitions. My two favourite ones are from Aaron Sarin, who was the second CEO when I was at Vodafone, who used to say, a brand is what a brand does. And my other one is Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, who says, brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. Now, both of these, I think, are phenomenally pertinent in the age we're in. So I use simple language. I make sure everybody understands what I'm on about, and they look like they are understanding what I'm on about. Who knows? So back to, you know, last year I said we're going to reboot these brands, and somebody said to me in a town hall one day, why do you say reboot? And I say, well, I'm not saying relaunch, because this isn't about doing new ads. It's like a computer. We're switching it off. We're going to check the whole thing. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? How are we doing it? Have we got the right systems and procedures in place? Do we know what customers want? Are we delivering it in the right way? And when we've done all of that, we'll switch it back on again. Now, I'm not suggesting, by the way, that we've done all of that yet, but we're beginning our journey to do that. Again, I started back in the archives, and NatWest is a brand that was built by three banks coming together in 1968. The design agency at the time used three solid blocks to symbolise the solidity of three banks coming together as one. And actually, I looked at that and thought, that's genius. And more significantly than me looking at it, Future Brand did. And Future Brand took it and turned it back into a logo that would work for the digital age. Because not only are we using it as it should be used, it flips and changes. Any of you NatWest customers? Ooh, good market share in here. Well, thank you very much for your business. Hopefully you all use, you know, the mobile app. And what you'll start seeing over time is we're using this logo in more playful, relevant fashion. But in addition to that, when I looked at the metrics behind the advertising, what I saw was a brand that was in woeful shape. In paid-for advertising, we had brand attribution of an average of 54%. Anybody that does that day in, day out should be shot. What that means, I mean, for those of you who don't know, is, you know, the old-fashioned test still, you go, seen this, show them a clip from an ad, and people go, yes. Then you go, which brand is it? And then you have to put the brand in. What that means is we're wasting 46% of the money. So we need to sort brand attribution out. I also saw that we weren't being considered anymore because people, in all the research I looked at, my favourite quote was NatWest is a brand. It's a bit like the patch on a Vickers sweater. It's there for a purpose, but we don't really take any notice of it. So, you know, we thought we needed to get heard again and we needed to get noticed. I also found in the research that people were correctly angry with banks, and that what they hadn't seen is any bank acknowledge in any way that they might have made a mistake in the past. So what we did is we looked hard at what is good about who we are, and we came up with a very simple idea, which is we are what we do. And we brought it to life with this film, I'm going to show you now. I have to say at this juncture, I wasn't going to show a film, but when I heard that we were at the BFI, I thought, I can't wait to see this fully wide on this screen, but I noticed it's not going to be fully wide, but never mind. Let's have a look at the film.
We are thoughtful. We are thoughtless. We are kind. And we are cruel. We are creative. Destructive. Brave. Stupid. We are heroes. Villains. Visionary. And we are blind. We are responsible. And responsible. We are all what we have done. And what we will do. So we all have a duty to do the right thing. We are no different.
So that lady at the end is one of our frontline staff. Incredible story she has to tell. I won't share it with you now. But the purpose of that film was to get back in the conversation, to get noticed. We launched it on September the 24th with, I'm told you must say, things like a full screen strategy. That didn't mean the big wide one. That means across all screens, digital and others. And actually, two or three things I would say here, because this is one thing I've learned along the way. When I started as a marketeer, ads were things that we made and we put on air. And if the people who worked for the company I was in were lucky, we'd send them a list to tell them when it was going to be on television. What I have learned, meanwhile, is you need to make sure that all the people that work for you know what you're doing, how you're doing it, and you need to build in time to be able to share it. So that film there, I had as an almost finished film 4 weeks before it went on air. That meant I could take it round to show each of my ex-co colleagues. I could show you before and afters because I listened and I changed things based on what they said. I took it to town halls and I showed it to people. And one of the things I said is, this is going to cause, technical term here, a social media shitstorm. Because everybody we have ever wronged and everything we have ever done wrong, they'll all pop out of the woodwork and they'll complain. And a test of our mettle is going to be how we respond to that and whether we can stick to this long term. I took it to each of the board members to show them as well. And I was completely comfortable and confident when we started that I had their full backing. And I guess 7 weeks later, I'm still standing here, so I still do. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Now, what intrigued me is on the Monday morning after we'd gone on air, I won't say which of the digital companies. There are only two significant ones, after all, aren't there? But it's the one that begins with G. They rang up and said, good news, you've got 55 million impressions. And I was thinking, well, what does that mean? Then they said, even better news, you've got 7.5 million views. And I said, listen, I'm not really interested in that. How many people have commented on it and what have they said? Because the only thing I'm really interested in is this, which is advocacy. Advocacy is what matters most. Now, to my delight and surprise, obviously I've edited out the negative comments. Believe you me, there were some. But what I was really astonished about was the weight of positive comments. So the data that I was really interested in is on the Monday after this film went on air, 19,000 people had shared it, and in the sharing of it, 95% of the sentiment and comments were positive, and nearly all of them were customers who were saying, this is really good, you've always served me well, I'm proud to see you're back again, and I'm proud to see you doing things like this. So, you know, let me just say here, one of the big things that worries me about the world today is I think, and I'm with Mark Ritson here, most digital metrics, what's the word I'm looking for? It begins with B, aren't reliable. I'm really, really worried about that, and I shouldn't be flippant about it because I think it matters a lot. But anyway, advocacy is what matters. We're tracking this, and we track how we make progress day in, day out. But also, you know, as we move this forward, one thing that we look at is how are we going to integrate this properly across the business? So last week, we had the leaders back together again, the top 700, and we talked about where we are and what we're doing. And two of the things I talked about is we run an incredible internal program of training about leadership. It's called Determined to Lead. 13,000 of our leaders have been through it. It's how people should be led, what they need to do, and it's all about taking ownership, being responsible and following up yourself, not thinking it's somebody else's job, but being accountable. That was the first thing. And the second thing is, you know, the brand that I am responsible for is delivered by all the people that work for the same company I do. So I made a big thing about now it's up to everybody to deliver day in, day out. And I think that's a real change. So when I then go back to the top of the conversation, you know, so what has changed? Marketing these days is a we thing. It's not a me thing. When I started, there were lots of ego-driven marketeers. Now, you have to know how to collaborate. You know, have to know how to work with other people. You have to focus on customers. I think it's still the great business to be in that it was when I started, but it's tough. But what really matters is what you do day in, day out. So it wouldn't be a good presentation if I didn't end with a piece of social content. Could you run the last film? Thank you.
Live, love, laugh. That's what we say. I'm glad that we've gone into fostering. I've got three beautiful, amazing children, 10, 9 and 6. It is a bit of a squeeze and we are bursting at the seams. We've just kind of outgrown the house, really. And we decided that we needed to go a little bit bigger. We found the property on the internet and I thought, right, this is it. So we went into NatWest to get a mortgage and we met with Jodie, and that's when she said that I've got a problem with my credit score and we couldn't have a mortgage. And Jodie said, we'll work together. That's the kind of warmth that I got from her. I could feel that it was more personal than just a bank. Then out of the blue, Jodie calls Scott's mobile and she said, oh, I see that you've paid off the car loan, so your credit score may have gone up now. If you'd like to come in, let's have another go. We booked an appointment to see NatWest, and I went in to see Jodie. And during the meeting, she popped a red from around the screen, and she said, Shelley, you've got your agreement in principle, and now you can go and make an offer. I said, I can't believe it. It was just amazing. It was just a lovely feeling, you know. We found a house and we put an offer in and we are absolutely ecstatic. And we're just going to close a chapter on the house that we've just moved out on and start a brand new chapter in our lives as a family. Thank you so much to the team. Thank you, Jodie.
Thank you.